Someone wrote this, which I thought was helpful, says, "We come into this world totally dependent on the love, care and protection of others. We go through a phase of life when other people depend on us, and most of us will go out of this world totally dependent on the love and care of others. This is part of the design, part of the physical nature which God has given us." So that's just thinking about dependency in life. Why is dependence key to Christian discipleship? So if someone could have a look up Luke 15 and read verses 11 to 16. So that story, there's lots of dependence and independence there, but that story is a picture of sin, isn't it? And sin, at its heart, is our declaring our independence from God. That is the heart of sin. So there we start our journey with independence, where we've turned our backs on God and said, we don't want you. Like the son there, we want all the good things that God provides, but we don't want him, we don't want a relationship with him. I'll take my inheritance now, but I wish you were dead. So independence from God is the heart of sin. But then, utter dependence on God is our only hope. Can someone read Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 for us? So there we see we were dead in our sins. It's not that we don't treat God as king. We can't. We've been born and bred into a world that's walked out on God. Putting ourselves at the centre of things is in our very blood, isn't it? It's the culture we've been steeped in. Our hearts are like one of those bowling balls with a bias that makes it veer off in one particular direction. And that is away from God. And we can try and change on the outside as much as we like, but what we're like on the inside means that again and again we veer off in that selfish direction. And which means we can never make ourselves fit for God's kingdom. We're helpless to change. We thought about that a bit this morning, didn't we? When Nicodemus is told, you must be born again. You need a change in your heart. So we're utterly dependent on God, aren't we? That Ephesians tells us that it's only God who can change us. We need a miracle. We need the help of one who can change us. We need Jesus. And we're utterly dependent on him. He is our only hope. So we declare our independence from God, but then we find out it's utter dependence on God is our only hope. And that can be hard, can't it? Dependence calls for humility and does away with pride. We find it really hard to admit our need, don't we? The other day, I needed to take my car for its MOT. And because of my hip just now, I can't walk. I couldn't drive the car there and then walk back. And yet I find myself reluctant to ask even my church family for help. And I knew they would do it. But why was I reluctant? I was thinking, well, maybe I could walk there. Maybe I could drive the car there and then just take my time and walk back. And I thought, why am I so reluctant to depend on other people? That's just a small example. But we find it hard, don't we, to be dependent, to admit our need of help. Particularly with God, we find it hard to admit our helplessness and our need. Our pride means we'd prefer it if Jesus said there was something we could do to save ourselves. Here are the rules you need to keep. Here are the rituals you need to perform. Here's the course you need to go on. We like that because it makes it feel our eternal destiny is something we can work out for ourselves. But when Jesus tells us about our helplessness, there's a sense in which it knocks us down, doesn't it? It humbles us. We need to be humbled so that God can lift us up. God sees us in our helplessness, but he doesn't leave us to flounder, trying to work our way back to him. He doesn't sit back and watch us and our feeble attempts. He doesn't leave us to die. Because he loves us, God provides what we need. So our relationships as disciples must start with dependence on our loving Father for rescue. And it's marked by humble dependence throughout the rest of our discipleship. It is humbling, and there is no place for pride. But when we find that hard, what can we do? We can look to Jesus. Just think about Jesus. Jesus himself, we sang about it in our first song. Jesus himself takes on the dignity of dependence. He's born as a baby, isn't he? Totally dependent on the care of his mother. We've already said that. He needs to be fed. He needs his nappy changing. He needs to be propped up when he rolls over and gets stuck. And yet he never loses his divine dignity. And at the end of his life, although he's not an old man, Jesus again becomes totally dependent. His hands and feet are pierced and stretched out. He's unable to move. He's dependent on his enemies to give him a drink. So in the person of Jesus, we learn that dependence does not, cannot deprive us of our dignity, of our supreme worth. And if dependence was appropriate for the God of the universe, it's certainly appropriate for us. We're just going to pause there and we're going to sing Only by Grace as a reminder to acknowledge our utter dependence on God is the only way that we can come to him and be his followers. So I hope you can see that dependence is really the only way to be a disciple, because we've shown our independence from God when we sin. It's our utter dependence on Christ to bring us back. It's how we start our journey, and it's how the disciple must continue the rest of his time or her time following Jesus. So let's just have a think about that. Dependence teaches us thankfulness and humility. So why don't you have on your tables, have a little look at Matthew 6, and then I think you've got a few questions there on Matthew 6. So why don't you have a look at those together, and then we'll have a little chat about those. Then we've got that little quote there from Michael Ramsay: thank God often and always. Thank God carefully and wonderingly for your continuing privileges. Thankfulness is a soil in which pride does not easily grow. That's the way to learn humility. That's the way to know our need and therefore be dependent, isn't it? If we don't know our need, we won't depend. And our need, though, is that give us our daily bread. You know, I think that's hard for us because, you know, we've never really been, maybe except when we're students, you know, that we're slightly short on food. But, you know, that's how we should be. Give us our daily bread, depending on God for everything. So that's the disciple and his ongoing prayer. What about God's design includes a responsibility for one another? We might have heard particularly old people or very ill people, even including Christians, say something like, I don't want to be a burden to anyone else. I'm happy to carry on living so long as I can look after myself, but as soon as I become a burden, I would rather die. But you know, there's something not quite right about that, because we're all designed to be a burden to others. You know, in our culture of individualism, we're surrounded by messages like, you do you, look out for number one, I need a little bit of me time. But when we keep our struggles to ourselves, we kind of short-circuit the powerful connection of vulnerability with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We prevent others from meeting a God-designed need. There's that verse from Galatians, and we'll have a look at it in a bit more detail in a minute. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfil the law of Christ. Part of God's design includes a responsibility for one another. And the form of the Greek word there for bear tells us it's not a one-time thing. We could read it as, keep carrying one another's burdens. This should be part of our lifestyle as Christians. So again, just 1 minute on your tables. Why don't we share burdens? Have a quick chat about that. Why do we find it hard to share our burdens, whether they're, you know, very personal things or just, you know, practical things that we need help with? But why do we find it hard to share burdens? Okay, lots of chatting going on. Any conclusions as to why we find it hard to share burdens? So here, and we said these sort of two fears that we have. We're afraid we'll overwhelm people or we'll be a nuisance. We look at our friends or those that we might share our burdens with sometimes and think, Oh, but they've got too much to think about themselves. You know, they've got ill parents, or they've got an ill child, or you know, they're having trouble at work. And we think, oh no, I can't add to their anxiety. You know, I don't want to add my burdens to theirs. We do some quick mental maths and think, oh no, they've got too much to deal with. I can't burden them with my things as well. And then the second one, as Will said, we're embarrassed to be vulnerable, which partly is, again, is pride, like Oscar said. You know, we might feel shame. We might have got ourselves into a situation and then we feel that we can't ask other people to help because we think, well, it's my fault that I got myself there. Or again, perhaps we feel we're going to be judged and people think we're stupid or immature as a Christian or whatever, like Phil said. So there's two fears. But why must we share burdens? And this, Ian, you must have been reading my notes. So have a quick look at these verses together on your tables. Why we must share burdens. Okay? So Genesis 1, there's two verses from Genesis, and then the Galatians and John. So have a quick look at those and see if we can come up with answers as to why we must share burdens. Okay, let's come back together. So the Genesis verses, what did they tell us about why we must share burdens? So God made, he declares everything good, doesn't he? Adam was very good, according to Genesis 1:31, in his created form. But what was not good was that he was on his own. So we're from the beginning, before sin entered the world, we were made for interdependence. We're made to be people together who helped one another. And that was before sin came into the world. So trying to hold all of our burdens alone is counter to God's good design. And did anyone get onto the Galatians and the John verses? What did they teach us? Paul tells us that we bear one another's burdens. When we bear them, the Galatians verse tells us, we fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? That's what the John verse tells us. Jesus told his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. So it's a command that we love one another by bearing one another's burdens. We might not always know how to. We might not be sure what to do. But actually, when we bear one another's burdens, we're obeying Jesus' command to love one another. There we go. So we're created to be interdependent. We're commanded to love one another. And then Ian's point of the double-sided coin, but it's the same thing. Burden sharing is a two-way street. Okay? We gladly listen when someone else wants to, you know, download their problems to us. We'll take a meal round when someone has a baby. We'll take someone to the garage to pick up their car after an MOT. But do we offer others the opportunity to fulfil the law of Christ in the same way for us? We're very keen to do it for others. Do we let them do it for us? Because burden bearing is a two-way street. Will you allow other Christians the opportunity to obey Christ's law? Because that's what we're doing when we don't share our burdens. We're not letting other people live out their discipleship. So it can be hard, can't it? It can be hard for all those reasons we've talked about to share our burdens with others. But I read this and I thought this was quite helpful, a way to think about it. And someone said this: unlike the overwhelmed response we anticipate, a friend will likely not feel the burden the same way you do. His or her listening ear will make your load lighter, but it won't double their burdens. As you share your struggle to care for your special needs child, a friend can listen and pray, or even come and help from time to time, but then walk away. She doesn't live in the day-to-day pressure like you do. Or maybe as you lament the loss of your best employee, a friend can listen and mourn with you without having to experience that loss for himself. Burden bearing can be described like this. Pretend you're wearing a backpack that holds difficult situations in your life. These struggles feel like heavy boulders weighing you down. But as you hand a boulder to your friend, its size diminishes. Your large boulder is a small stone in her hand and a pebble in his pocket. Your troubles won't weigh another person down in the same way, but sharing your burdens will lighten your load. And burden bearing draws us together, doesn't it? As we share our burdens and as we care and we reciprocate with that, it grows our love for each other. It's one of the many ways Jesus grows his church. So find ways to share your burdens and to carry the burdens of others, and so fulfill the law of Christ.